Into your head. It's a podcast. It doesn't usually start like this. It usually starts with me saying, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head number 96, or whatever it happens to be on that occasion, whatever number it happens to be. But I decided to forego the usual introduction on this occasion. I decided to just go something and vaguely begin. Because if you vaguely begin, there's advantages to being vague about things. I've just vaguely begun the show, but if something goes wrong at this point, I can reasonably claim that I haven't actually started the show yet. I can say it's still rehearsals, or it's still we're still in the preparation period and it haven't begun yet, so it doesn't matter if something has gone wrong. So there are advantages. Vagueness has a has all sorts of pluses to it, such as, for example, the fact that it's a nice word, I suppose, begins with V. There aren't very many words beginning with V. There's vague, and very, and virgin, and verily, and what else? There's veal, and vile. And vowel, they're pretty much all the same word, except with a different consonant stuck in. A word is just basically some consonants with some vowels stuck in the middle. And you change the consonants around, and you change the vowels around, and all of a sudden you've got a brand new word, or a completely different word to the one you started with, just by interchanging the letters or swapping them around. The English language is absolutely fucking fantastic, if you ask me. That's what it is. I can't repeat that, I'm afraid, but it's what I just said it is. That's one example of the greatness of the English language. I just used a word that came out by accident, and I can't repeat it at will. It only comes out at involuntary moments, so I can't predict it. So I'll probably only ever be able to use that word once. Maybe I should carry around an MP3 recording of that word, recorded in my voice, taken from this show, and then I can play it. When I want to say it, I can just play a recording of it. I can take out my portable voice recorder, dictaphone, gadget, and just play that word when I want to use it, and point at the dictaphone. I'll be talking to someone in the street, and I get to a point where I want to use that word, and they'll just point at the dictaphone and press play, and it'll play that word, and then I'll continue talking. And of course I'll explain to the person if they don't know that that's a word I was only able to perform once, but I would like to use it more than once in my life. But I'm not prepared to stand around waiting for a time when there's a coincidence where I happen to want to use that word at the exact moment, and at that exact moment I happen to belch, and then I can use the word. Because you can't, you have to make things happen. You can't stand around waiting for stuff like that to happen for you, as far as I'm concerned. You join me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 90-something. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, he said last week it was 90-something. Now he's saying again that it's 90-something. He's making a mistake. It can't be 90-something two times in a row. Well, that's where you're wrong. It can be 90-something 10 times in a row. It can be 90, and then 91, and then 92, and then 93, and then 94, and then 95, and then 96, and then 97, and then 98, and then 99. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, technically, 90 isn't 90-something. It's just 90. Well, fair enough. I'll give you that. So let's say there's 8 possibilities, not 9. As I previously said. Or did I say it was 10 and it's 9? I don't know, whatever I said, it's one less. What I said minus one. If what I said is x, then the correct answer is x minus one. And if the correct answer is y, then y plus one equals x. And if one equals z, then x plus z equals y, y minus z equals x. And then you could just, I suppose, just for to create a bit of variety, you could replace the letters with different numbers. You could replace x with 7, and y with 134, and z with 23, and just make them all add up incorrectly. I tell you, that'll cause confusion in the algebraic world, because there's all these guys. The algebra is basically a load of failed English literature students who decided to go over to mathematics and decided to try and bring their writing skills with them, so they put in all these letters into the equations, and they never adds up. They just say x plus y equals z, and you'll say, but those aren't even numbers, and they'll say, I know, just replace them with whatever numbers you want to put in and figure it out for yourself. I deal in letters, I'm a letters expert, and I'm applying my letters mind to some problems in mathematics, but I'm not going to go into all the numbers stuff, because I've got more to do. I've got enough to do in the literature world without having to learn numbers. So I'm just going to bring my letters over to the mathematics genre and take it from there. And if anyone doesn't like it, they can go and read a book. Read a book with lots of numbers in it, I suppose. That'll bring it full circle. You could read the book on which the film A Beautiful Mind is based. That's got a lot of mathematics in it. I know, because I've read the first 50 pages of it. And then I gave up, because it was too difficult. It was full of maths and crap. And I have no interest in reading about maths and crap. I had stuff like 2 plus 7 equals crap. And that's not a real example. That's an example of an example of an appearance of numbers and crap in that book. It's not actually a real example. It's just an example of what an example might be, were I to choose an example, which I haven't. I've just made an example of an example. So there you go. Admit at this point that I'm not happy with the way the show is going. It's been a load of crap. So what I think I'll do at this point is just sit here and wait for some listeners to call in, and I'll have a discussion with one or two of the listeners. So if you're listening to the show live now, on the live stream, call us. You'll find the numbers on the website. The website is at intoyourhead.com, and if you're listening, just ringing. I'll wait for you here. I'll sit here on the stairs and wait for you, because I've nothing better to do, and I just have to wait for a listener contribution. I'm sure once someone rings in, I'll be able to get going, and that'll get the show going again, and we'll regain some ground then. So we'll just wait here. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, what time is it? I'm afraid I can't help you there, because, although this is recorded in real time, it's later edited. So that manipulates the passage of virtual time within the show. So basically, that any time check that I might give would be rather unreliable, to say the least. So can't help you there. I suggest you switch on your radio, but keep the volume down so you can continue to listen to me, and the person on the radio will tell you what time it is. So basically, that's it. Now I'm being distracted at the moment by my wife, who's going yay, because she's just finished a project of some kind. She seems rather excited about it, so I have to go and see what the excitement is about. Apparently she finished all the cushions, whatever that means, and the curtains and the tissue boxes. Now, I think this is some sort of code that wives have for when they're finished their I don't know. I think at this point I'm going to press stop. Tremendously exciting moment. I've just been for coffee. I've been to a coffee establishment, a coffee house, if you will, a public coffee house. That's not to be confused with a pub, which is a public house of sorts, but it wasn't that type of public house. There was no alcohol available. It was a coffee shop that sells coffees of all types, except Irish coffees, which have alcohol in it. Coffee shops aren't licensed to sell alcoholic beverages. They're licensed to sell coffee. And sell coffee they do. They sell it in droves. They sell gigantic, huge... huge containers of coffee. They're called cups, but they're much larger than the standard cup. They're gigantic, basically. The cups that they have in these coffee places are gigantic. They're the size of a bucket. Now, I don't know what they do if they need a bucket. Presumably they get a wheelbarrow and they call that a bucket. Because otherwise, if they're going to use an ordinary bucket when they have cups the size of a bucket, then that's going to mess up the whole scale thing and the cups aren't going to look big anymore. Or something. So they have to get big joint buckets to make this whole, to keep up this pretense that their gigantic bucket size cups are the normal size of a cup. So that's what they do. They get gigantic buckets. They get the buckets built That's what they do. Now, I was going to try to go off on some tangent there about the fact that several sugar factories in Ireland have closed down over the last few years, and each of the sugar factory had a joint factory thing structure on its premises that looks like a joint bucket. And I was going to try to suggest that these are used by the coffee establishments as a bucket. But that doesn't make sense. There's only been three or four sugar factories that closed down. And there's this chain that I'm referring to. This coffee chain has a lot more than three or four branches, so that wouldn't make sense at all, unless the sugar industry is in free fall all over the world, and there are enough sugar factories closing down to provide buckets for every single one of these coffee shops, which seems unlikely. I know the sugar industry in Ireland is collapsing, but that's because of the rise of sugar factories elsewhere in the world. So they're going to need all their buckets. All of those factories that are popping up in other countries and taking away the jobs from the Irish sugar industry. So let's not go down that road. Tremendously exciting moment. I'm about to prepare some food. Now, I'm going to cheat. I already have cheated because this is pre-prepared food. It just needs to be heated up and arranged on a plate somehow. So that's pretty much all done. In fact, it's already on a plate. So I'm just going to put it into the this modern apparatus that we call a microwave. There we go. You can probably hear the microwave there. It's there's no moving parts in it, but you can probably hear some sort of a humming. Now, it's not meant as a musical thing. It's basically the hum of my food being fried, where electrons are moving around. It's basically, it's like a miniature solar system in there. There's 9 electrons moving around a big, bright, miniature sun, and there's gravity and all sorts of things, forces at work. Basically, what happens is it's like a mini-universe, and it plays out 2 million... billion years worth of history in the space of 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes, depending on the temperature and the manufacturer's instructions. So basically it plays out a miniature universe, and it plays out a miniature version of the course of time. It starts off with a big bang, and then there's some dinosaurs created on the plate, and then they die out, and then there's a human race, and that dies out, and then the robots take over, and then the world ends, and then the food is ready. But this all happens in the space of a couple of minutes. So that's how a microwave works. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, that's a load of crap. He's lying to us. I know this because I've looked it up on Wikipedia, and it says nothing about any of that. When you look up a microwave on Wikipedia, it basically says a microwave works by using electrons, but it doesn't say anything about the dinosaurs and things. Well, it does sometimes, but that gets erased after a couple of minutes, and it's usually referred to as vandalism, and that happens because apparently if you make up information on Wikipedia, it's considered vandalism. Those people wouldn't have liked the likes of Charles Dickens, I can tell you. He used to make up some of the most fantastic stories ever written, but if he did that on Wikipedia, he'd be considered a vandal and a wrecker. He'd basically be called subhuman scum. He'd come along and say, along to the thing about the page about Oliver Twist, and he'd go on his computer, and he'd log in as Charles Dickens, and he'd edit the page and say, Oliver Twist was born in an orphanage, and he never had enough food, and he had a tragic existence, and then someone will come along immediately and delete it, and they'll ban his IP address and say, you're not to come on here again, and then Charles Dickens will have to get another computer and a different router, or else go in through someone else's connection to get on and edit the page again. And then he'll get banned completely. They'll ban him, and someone will open the page saying, for the user Charles Dickens, and say, this user is abusing the place. He's making up stories, he's making up all this stuff about Pip in Great Expectations, going around and meeting your man on the marsh, and Mrs. What's-Her-Name and all that. And that sort of thing may be all very well in a novel or in a BBC drama adaptation, but nothing an online encyclopedia. So, Mr. Dickens, you can go and take your nonsense somewhere else. Go find some publisher who's looking for nonsense. We're a respectable encyclopedia. We deal in facts. We don't deal in fiction. Unless, of course, you're editing the Wikipedia entry about fiction. Actually, let's go and look that up now and see what Wikipedia says about fiction. This will be interesting, what the fiction page of Wikipedia says. Let's see, wikipedia.org. I'll just go until the page comes up, because the internet is going very slow today. And I have to have some sort of filler, so I'll just say... Now, what's happening now is that we're transferring data from wikipedia.org. I'll just click on English. I want to search for fiction. F-I-C-T-I-O-N. Now, this will be interesting. What this supposedly fact-based service says about fiction. There'll be irony, at least. I expect from this page when it ever turns up is a load of irony, basically, and probably a lot of people are going to look like hypocrites. All these staunch proponents of fact, and they're writing about fiction. Let's see. The page. I'm still waiting for the frigging page to come up, and I'm still waiting for my dinner to be heated up. I'm heating up my dinner in the microwave as I speak. Well, the microwave is doing most of the work, but I'm waiting. Waiting is work. When you're waiting for something that you want, that feels like work. You have to sit there waiting, and you have to sit there not having it and waiting to have it. And the difference between not having something and having it is wanting it. It's a mathematical equation. Having something minus not having something equals wanting something. Oh, here we go. Here's this is fiction. I have to click on this now. Fiction is the telling of stories which are not real. You see, there you go, it's biased already. They're saying fiction is the telling of stories which are not real. It's not real. Now, it doesn't say whether fiction is real or not. It says, more specifically, fiction is an imaginative form of narrative, one of the basic rhetorical modes. Although the word fiction is derived from the Latin fingo, fingers, finxi, finctum, to, from, create, works of fiction need not be entirely imaginary and may include real people. See, they're trying to justify it by saying there may be some facts involved. So there you go. Now, it does say up the top, this article needs additional citations for verification. So they're saying that the fiction needs to be verified by facts. So there you go, it's exactly what I said it would be. They're all completely biased in Wikipedia. They've decided, no, we're not having any of this fiction crap in our service. You can all go away, and we're just going to make fiction look bad. We're going to make up stuff about fiction. We're going to make up fictional facts about fiction and say that they're facts, and everyone will get confused, and then that'll destroy the whole world of fiction, and there'll be nothing left in the world of literature except non-fiction books, such as, for example, autobiographies of people who used to write fiction and who ended up homeless because the fiction industry collapsed. My instrument on me, so I'm going to use my instrument and my vocal cords, and we'll have an instrumental cat song. This cat song is going to be an instrumental. It's going to be the first ever instrumental cat song. I'll express myself wholly through my music, and it'll be excellent. Let's see. Cat song, cat song. This is an instrumental cat. Oh shit.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guest book
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.